Very good, Dean.
Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, this is AfterBuzz TV for Season 4, Episode 15 of Gossip Girl. Tonight's host is Roxy R. Stryer. Joining Roxy will be AfterBuzz co-hosts Casey C. Carlson and Sarah S. Stratton. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Gossip Girl news and gossip. We want to hear from you, too. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 347-855-8269. That's 347-855-8269. And now, picking up where the show leaves off and the buzz continues, Roxy R. Stryer.
This Valentine's Day episode, we see It Girl Happened One Night. That's the name of the episode. And as they said, it was a Valentine's Day massacre that we just saw. So we see Serena find out that Ben is not actually tutoring. He really is catering the event that she is going to, and he had no idea she was going. We have a little bit of Dan and Blair drama. Dan wants Blair to read an article that he wrote after she took over for Epperly, and she says she didn't read it, but we find out that she, in fact, did. They also end up watching a movie together at the end in a very friendship-like way. It was very platonic, I have to say. And there is, of course, drama with Chuck, Raina, Thorpe, and the entire company. We see disaster take place, and Chuck ends up on the bottom. So I'd like to start off with Serena and Ben talking a little bit about the class difference here and how way too familiar this seems with Dan and Serena, and how they seem to be just going through the same story over and over again.
Yep, I agree with you. It's just a little bit of flip-flopping, like, it's Dan one minute, then he's fine with it being Ben, and he's supporting it, and I don't know, giving him ideas of how to hang out with Serena and all this stuff. And then I don't understand, like, the problem with him being a caterer and her being in high society. I don't see it. So I think to me it was just annoying that they were like, oh, we're going to get back at her by putting them on film as him being the caterer and her being the socialite. I don't know. That really, like, bothered me,
right,
the scene with it. I was just like, this isn't a big deal. Why are you trying to embarrass your friend that way? I don't.
What bothered me was,
so let's hear. What bothered you, Phil?
This is a huge pet peeve of mine. When it's Valentine's Day and you say you don't want to spend time with the person that you know you want to spend time with, it's a recipe for disaster. It just is. You know you want to spend time with that person. Oh, we just don't want the high pressure. All right. No, just go ahead. Just spend time, but don't make it high pressure.
Agreed.
Okay, so is this a feeling you have felt before? Is that why you seem so so passionate right now?
No, actually, perhaps. I can't say it. But, I mean, I got to say, great episode, but in many ways terrible in the sense of, like, this is the last moments of Valentine's Day, and this is what I'm left with, the feeling of a massacre.
Yeah. You know,
very sad.
We didn't see any relationships work out this episode.
No.
Not one leaving us with any sort of hope. I mean, the very end at the bar, okay, but they didn't have a great Valentine's Day. And getting back to your original point, Sarah, not only is Dan okay with his ex-girlfriend seeing somebody else, but he's actually pushing them together. He actually gets a job for Ben and is okay with him living there, is giving him tips and advice, and that really weirded me out. I know that you're also her brother, and you are supposed to support your exes in their future endeavors, I suppose, but a little too soon. Yeah?
I totally agree. Totally too soon. My one question is, because it seemed like he was giving him honest advice about Serena, and was anyone at all confused? He told Ben that Serena liked to have, like, beer and pool, but then when she went to the bar, she was like, beer? Gross.
No, I think she was more, Valentine's Day is about champagne. You know, I don't think she was ewing beer, because we see Serena is this party girl who loves pool and beer, you know? I mean, she isn't supposed to be like that, but when it boils down to it, she doesn't mind just sitting around with the boys having a good time.
Well, yeah. For her, all right.
Aww.
Yes, indeed. Well, for her, the reason why it shouldn't have been champagne at the end was because what makes her feel special is when she is that normal girl, the beer and the pool. And so she should have just gone with it as opposed to champagne, which she probably has every freaking night.
See, that's exactly what I was thinking. Like, I thought it was going to be super cute, and they were going to, like, just have a beer together. And mm-hmm. It's going to be her really embracing just being normal. But that would
be far too simple. And, of course, this is Gossip Girl, so that's not what it's like. So if we can recall back to when Serena was dating Nate, since that time, she hasn't dated somebody of the same social class with her. And she has dated Dan. And she has dated Ben.
And Mr. Teacher Man, who's Ben's cousin.
Right. Mr. Teacher Man, Ben's cousin. Such a bizarre storyline, may I add.
But he was, I mean, he was successful. He had a business
More
education.
Successful, for sure.
But he wasn't in her crowd. He was still removed.
So what do we think about this concept of Serena dating? Why is it that she goes for these guys that are in a different social circle than she is?
I think for Serena, it's just she likes the drama. She likes the challenge. She likes anything that she's not expected to do from what Lily would want or something like that. She has issues.
So still a rebel. Teenage rebel.
Completely.
Okay. You think the same thing? She's just trying to rebel and get back at her mom so she dates people she thinks that would piss her off?
Yeah, I could see that. I think, I don't know. Yeah, probably. And it's not even so much the mom. I think in some sense, like, it is just almost an F you to that sort of society, you know? She's trying to be edgy.
You know, I think it's more that she loves people being obsessed with her, and she finds these people that worship her. They look up to her in every sort of way, such as Dan, who would do legitimately anything for her. And even after she didn't seem to be the best of Valentine's Day to Ben, at the end of the night, he texts her saying, "Do you want to meet me at Old Town Bar?" Which, by the way, Old Town Bar, it's like the most grungy name for a little bar. And she got the hugest smile on her face, and so typical that they would do that. Maybe that's just me. But anyway, so I think that she just wants these people to look up to her and almost wants to be made into this idol. And that's why she goes for these people that legitimately worship her and would do anything for her.
Maybe it's a combination of the two. I think it is probably a combination of the two. You know, there's a little bit of her loving the people loving her and a little bit of she wants to be what people don't expect her to be.
Right. And what do we think about Blair's attempt to sabotage Serena in getting Ben to cater this event that she knew that Serena was going to, that she actually asked Serena to go to and told Serena to go to?
I mean, I think that it was a needed part of the episode. You know, they needed it. But I thought it was a little petty of Blair. Like, we've already gone through the whole not trusting each other. We've overcome that. Go back. You know, you've been through this like 100 times. You now trust each other. Get, you know, stick with it.
But Blair does this kind of stuff all the time. And I do love Blair because there are amazing parts to her. We see at the end of the episode, which we'll talk about later. But, you know, I feel like Serena very rarely does anything wrong to Blair anymore. In the past season, 2 seasons, why is it that Blair always thinks Serena is jealous of her? You know, is Blair that thick skull? I mean, you're nodding right now. You see what I'm saying?
It's I completely see what you're saying.
Blair always screws over Serena, and Serena just kind of takes it. Like, I feel like it's such an uneven friendship that I don't know really how they...
Well, Serena doesn't have any goals, it seems like, for me.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why Serena's not doing anything. She doesn't really need a full friendship because she doesn't have any other full part of her life. To her, it's probably amazing.
So what does Serena need? I mean, we always complain about her character. We think she needs to be single. And really, what she seemed to want is just a friendship night, just a friendship Valentine's Day.
Serena needs a life.
Like a job.
Like, they called her the it girl of the week, right? About how she's like a socialite. But I feel like she hasn't even been that great of a socialite lately. She's done nothing. She's
okay.
Dealt with drama and tried to get Ben in her life.
She's not close with her family, so she's not family-oriented. She's not close with her friends, really. Her relationships are always on and off. She doesn't have a job. Does she go to class?
No.
They said
not really.
There was some comment about 15 hours a week or something like that.
What?
Blair made a comment, I believe, that Serena went to class 15 hours a week.
Usually it's, right? 16 is a full-time student.
I don't know. I have about 25 hours of class a week, so.
Interesting.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it is a little more than that. I mean, think about that.
Not for me. It was literally, we took four classes.
Yeah, four classes, 4 hours a week each.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have about 25 hours of class. Do you have that much class?
I've never really added it up. I'm sure. I have a couple of classes that are 3 hours, though.
Okay.
So I'm guessing it probably adds up.
Yeah, I have a five. Yeah. Everybody's like, snooze fest. Don't want to talk about your classes. We go to our own. I know. But I'm just wondering, what does she do with her time? Does she just sit there and think of ways to look pretty? Because she does a good job at that. She's a good shopper. She's got good clothes.
You know, when you look at it, I mean, it seems weird, like in college, especially in America, there's just really, like when you think, for us, for me, 16 hours wasn't a lot, you know what I mean?
Okay.
And I know we have some listeners in Greece. I would love to hear how much they go to
class. That's interesting.
Yeah. We got to get these girls on the phone, by the way.
Know.
They correspond via email.
I know. And they're great via email. Amazing. I love these girls. They make me feel good about myself and my voice. Remember? They said I like my voice. I hate my voice. It's very exciting to me.
Yes.
But also, even compared to high school, think about how much class you had in high school. Wake up, go to class 8 o'clock, wouldn't leave till 3 every single day.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But who knows? Maybe, well, seems like Serena has plenty of time to add something substantial in her life.
Their kissing seems very awkward and uncomfortable to me, too. She almost blocked the camera with her hand because I felt like it was such an awkward kiss at the end, Serena and Ben, that she didn't want the camera to see it.
That could be more of, like, I think it might be an actual, like, personal awkwardness, because isn't there an actual age gap in between them?
I'm sure.
Maybe she just...
Oh.
And according to our reports, she doesn't fully like to be on screen kissing or doing sex scenes.
Right.
Oh, yes,
she thinks
that.
They're awkward.
Yes.
Well, I think anybody would think that was awkward. On stage sex scenes? Oh, my God. I can't imagine. Okay. Anyway, that's enough.
But they're awesome for the audience members.
That is true. That's true. Okay. Dan and Blair. So I know later... When we talk about our news and gossip, we've got some stuff for you guys there, so keep listening. But for now, okay, friendship or non-friendship, what is this? Platonic, the way I see it, or do we think that this is going somewhere? And I've got to tell you, as I was talking to my roommate today, she turned to me and she said, I swear to God, if Blair and Dan make out, I'm not watching the show anymore. I'm done. I'm out. I'm never watching again.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, yeah, it's... If they do end up hooking up, I'm going to be, like, disgusted. It's probably going to make my stomach unsettled for, like, a week. Like, I don't want them to do, but Gossip Girl loves throwing these little love triangles at your face. So you've got to have it. It's in the back of my head that it could happen, but I'm hoping it's not.
Jesse, what are you thinking? You look like you had something to say in
there. Yes, I called this, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
I want it to happen. I think it'll... Tonight at the end of the episode, I saw Blair... Looked like she almost changed her. She was changing her personality. She realized the mistake she made with Serena.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Dan will be a nice little add to her personality. I mean, I know she's known for the little drama that she causes and stuff, but it's like Chuck's getting his thing on.
Chuck is getting his thing on. We'll talk about that a little later. But as for Blair and Dan, I think that something that they share in common is this artistic side of them, which really helps them to connect, which is something that Blair was never given by Chuck and Dan was never given by Serena. So this connection is being formed through their love for art, specifically cinematic arts, and they go to the movies together. And that's awesome.
But can't they just be friends doing that? I mean, you can have a friendship where you go to the movies together. You don't need to have a relationship.
Well, I'm going to give you a sort of guy's perspective.
Okay.
All right. So I can't speak for Blair, but speaking for Dan... There's always, you have numerous girls in your life, and you kind of, like, look down upon them like, that's like my little sister. You know what I mean? So I should never do anything.
Even though if you were Dan, you'd be completely okay with dating your real sister.
Yes. And, but on the same token, you're like, she's not my actual sister, if something happens, I could see myself sleeping with her.
Yep, this is what I was about to say and ask to you guys. My dad, I have a million guy friends. And in my mind, they're just friends. But I always grew up and my dad said, to a guy, there is no such thing as a girl who's completely off limits. In the sense that any girl that's your friend, if she's hot, they want to sleep with you. Bottom line.
If the option's out there.
If you would sleep with them, they would sleep with you. Bottom line. My dad always said that to me and always said, there's no such thing. You don't really have guy friends because any minute they would just, I don't know. It sounds disgusting now.
Well, we're not. All right, hold on. That doesn't mean we're going to jump on you at the first chance we get. No.
Right. But if Blair leans in and you're Dan, are you pulling away?
I hope so. I mean, come on. I understand.
I didn't
both
ask
seeing...
you. You're not Dan. You're not Dan over here. You get to answer in a minute if you're Blair and Dan leans in. So hold on.
Fine.
Okay, Phil.
I mean, I would definitely not stop it if I was Dan.
Okay, so you lean in for the kiss. But you don't initiate?
No, not unless you're 100% sure. At least in my, you know what I mean? I don't like to do that.
Okay, and now I'm flipping it around. So you're Blair.
I'm Blair.
Dan leans in for the kiss. And you?
I better back off. I mean, you're living with his sister / ex-girlfriend who's supposed to be your best friend.
Okay, now you're one drink in, two drinks in, three drinks in, four drinks in. Do you back off? You're at a movie. It's dark out. Nobody will ever know.
If I'm Blair Waldorf and my hoity-toity, I have put people down for dating people below their class, then no, I don't lean back in.
But do you allow this friendship to develop knowing, because we're all smart enough to know, there's something kind of there. You develop this friendship and you just kind of keep it at one level? Or do you cut ties originally? You know what I mean? Ooh, it's face.
It's hard.
She would definitely make out with whoever the Dan in her life is.
We even saw him tonight. You said, Dan looks good.
He did. There was this one moment where he was leaning on the banister outside of Chuck's room and he looked really good. But still, if I'm
you would
Blair,
hate all right, like Blair, you would hate yourself for doing it, but you'd so do it.
He was a really good friend to Blair.
I'd be
though.
Tempted, but I hope I wouldn't.
Okay, did we expect Blair to read? Enough, you two. Jeez. Did we expect Blair to read the script?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, and to give it away? I mean, to put it in a good place? Where did she move it on to? Some
Vogue
something.
It's just, I mean, it just goes for my argument that she does want to, you know, I mean, she wouldn't stop it. If Dan leaned in, she wouldn't stop it because she does care about him.
And this is why I love Blair, because no matter what, you'll think one minute that she's an absolute piece of crap and, like, why would she do that to your best friend Serena? And then all of a sudden she'll do something that's so redeeming and you're like, oh, yeah, that's it. She really does care about people no matter how many times she insists, Humphrey, you're not my friend. No, Dan, you are her friend. Or Humphrey, shut up. She wants you to keep talking. Mm-hmm. So when girls tell you to shut up, really it means say something clever. Keep that in mind. You're like, okay, what do I have clever to say?
Noted.
You know, duly noted. So I think that it was really great that she gave the script or gave his article to somebody. Wasn't expecting that. That's why I always love her character. And also wasn't expecting Dan to be so accommodating when they were watching Chuck and Raina in the other room. And Dan is kind of there for her. She sits down and Dan makes one comment about it and then he's done. And then he's there for Blair. No matter how many millions of times that Blair has done something completely rude and disrespectful, he was there for her.
By the way, all the more reason that they will hook up. I mean, it's parodied in Wedding Crashers where they pick up chicks at funerals because it's so easy to get a girl when she's vulnerable.
When a girl's down, it's the best time to pick her up. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Everybody stay away from Phil.
I'm just saying. Where's my Valentine's?
I don't know. We all need to find our Valentine's. Sarah happens to be the only one at the table with a boyfriend and a Valentine. How's it feel?
Oh, boo-hoo, Roxy. Who dumped who? Yeah. I'm not saying it now. All right, first off.
Yeah, I had to cut my ties. Quit while I was ahead.
And just to clarify, that was not between me and her. That is between her and her boo, or former boo.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the former boo.
Yeah, I ended things with you, Phil. No, you know what? The former boo actually told me a week ago that he was going to listen to this show. So if he's listening, this is a little awkward for me. But it just got a little stage five clinger back to Wedding Crashers. Like, it was just too much.
Time to abort.
Wow.
What was Jersey Shore? What was that saying that they kept saying? Yeah, abort the mission, abort the mission. It wasn't a grenade. It wasn't a grenade launcher. It wasn't one of it's abort the mission. Can't even go in anymore.
Stalker.
Jack and the Bean.
Stock.
Okay, we are on Gossip Girl.
I know, but I love both shows equally. Coming back to Gossip Girl. All right, moving on. Dan and Blair. Some of us want it to happen. Some of us don't. All guys, just trying to get in your pants. That's the moral of the story here.
No. We're not trying, but if it's there.
They're not opposed to it. They might not be active in it, but.
Well, that's the common misconception. Every girl, you know what I mean? That's why every girl you sort of meet, they are sort of hesitant because they think you want to sleep with them. No. If you're open to that option,
then we're open to that option.
Oh, my God. Men are pigs. Men are pigs. Just like our main man, Chuck Bass, who completely alienates his family, his ex-girlfriend, his friends, everything for business. When is this acceptable? When do you choose business over your loved ones? Ever?
Yeah,
I'm the big thumbs down on that one, too. Horrible decision. You never alienate everybody in your life for somebody you don't even know and a business you don't even know is going to happen. And my honest opinion on this entire situation, and I was saying this throughout the entire episode, Raina is playing Chuck. I think she's playing Chuck. I think she has some sort of a different motive that she's not showing us right now, and that her father set her up for this that we're going to find out in weeks to come, and I guess I can talk about in predictions. I'm moving really fast right now, I know,
okay,
but I'm stressed out about the issue because no one wants to see Chuck Bass brokenhearted over Raina frickin' Thorpe. Come on.
Okay, well, I disagree with you. I think that she did have real feelings, but I just want to recap a little what happened, actually,
okay,
to get things straight. So basically we saw Russell Thorpe play Nate's dad and Chuck at the same time to set Chuck up into terminating Lily from Bass Industries. And this also, by Chuck severing his ties with his family, he also loses Raina.
Right, in the scene where he is yelling at Lily or making fun of Lily or however you call it. And Raina sees this, sees how unimportant family is to Chuck, even though he explains to her why family is such a big issue for him. His uncle is his worst enemy, could never trust his father. He doesn't have a mother, or he really does.
By the way, that was so weird. I mean, did they just sleep together, him and Raina? Because she was, like, putting on her dress. And
Lily just barged in.
Yes.
I think they were about to sleep together, and Lily interrupted.
Yeah.
And why are these families so okay with that, you know? Russell Thorpe knows that Raina and Chuck are sleeping together, and Lily knows. And while you're just at a party, they went upstairs to sleep together. Oh, that sounds normal. I would do that if my parents were at a party. Just run away with my new boyfriend and go F him in the bedroom. Perfect.
Normal, completely.
Completely normal. This entire show, normal, normal, normal. But okay, after that recap, thank you, Sarah. What are we thinking? If you were Raina, what do you do in this situation? Do you watch Chuck do this? And do you feel bad for him after he explains everything that's happened with his family? Or do you say, I'm going to cut my losses. This guy's crazy. He builds you up. He breaks you down. He really isn't somebody I can afford to have in my life right now. Goodbye.
I think you do say goodbye. I mean, this isn't the first. This relationship has been going on for at most a month. And she's already seen him betray her twice.
Right.
So I think you do choose your family. Her dad seemed to be there for her all the time. I think you choose that over a guy who you just met who seems devious and you have caught, like, doing wrong to you.
And you think there's no question about it? Chuck Bass, real feelings there?
Yes. I think
on both ends?
I think there was real feelings on both ends.
Do you think? Real feelings both ends?
It's hard to see with her bad acting, but it's there.
I appreciate it. I mean, the fact that they had to go and pick out a dress, I don't think she was fooling anyone. You know what I mean?
Right.
It shows genuine feelings.
Wait, Jesse, okay, so you told me that you saw this actress. I keep forgetting the actress's name, but Raina Thorpe's actress.
Tika Sumpter.
Tika Sumpter. That's it. Perfect. You said you saw her in something. So what did you see her in, Jesse, and was she as bad as she is on the show?
No, I did. I didn't see her playing. I saw her in a preview to BET's The Game.
Okay.
So I didn't see. I didn't see the.
So next.
So I'm
week,
assuming tomorrow night. Actually, she'll be here. So we can.
So on Monday next week, you're gonna have to give us the rundown of how horrible she is, and when she goes like whatever. What did she say that I called her out? Obviously.
Yeah, it was obviously.
Obviously. What, you Valley girl, you're a businesswoman. Come
on. But do you at least find her attractive?
No.
If you're, yeah, no.
I do. I think she's pretty. She's growing on me a little. I think her middle part throws me off.
Her middle part?
Her hair, her center
her hair.
Part.
She parts it like on, Phil's looking at me like crazy.
I don't know what the middle part is.
Well, anyway, I just think that she really bothers me. And if she was incredible, maybe I'd think she was more pretty, but pretty is something that's so about personality for me. But I can't even get past it. And I just think she's the worst actress. And she, even if she was a good actress, I don't think the character anymore is good for Chuck because too headstrong. The two of them just clash, clash, clash. It's peanut butter and peanut butter, you know? And who wants a freaking peanut butter sandwich?
I love that.
Where's the fluff? Where's the jelly? We need some Blair Waldorf up in the sandwich.
But they're giving you some Nutella.
That is true. And I do love Nutella. Recently found love of mine. I really do. So I guess I'll be a little more open to it in the future. Thank you, Jesse, for that. No, and maybe this is going somewhere. Maybe I just can't see it. But for now, I don't understand how you could just leave a party to go sleep with your boyfriend when your parents are downstairs. And speaking of not liking a character, what do we think about Russell Thorpe? Is he any better or worse than Raina? And how did he completely blindside Chuck? How do we let our favorite character, the best businessman we know, or maybe not, get so blindsided by this new guy on the show? How do we do that? What happened there? He just completely fell for this girl?
This is my theory, that Russell Thorpe, just by looking back, like he has ties to Lily and Chuck's father, he's a smart guy. He's been around the block. He knows how to manipulate. He's not new to this town. He was there before any of them, and he's played this game 100 times.
Right, so did he hire Nate's dad, Mr. Archibald, knowing that this was going to happen?
No, it's only after their riff last week.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he initially hired Nate's father as, like, a good investment. He thought he'd be smart, and then he did end up using him because he saw, I don't know, weakness.
So eventually he uses him.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really crappy person, really good business guy. But we see in the end that Nate's dad has the key to the office and the passcodes to all the computers and everything. Now, I was sitting there thinking, so what the hell is that going to do?
What do you do? Steal all the files.
What do you do with a passcode and a key?
You change the contracts to make sure that Bass Industries remains whole and gets part of the control to Chuck.
So somehow Chuck's going to come out on top?
I don't know on top. He's either, my thought, I guess we could probably talk about it more in predictions, is that Chuck will either come out on top or he will just bring Russell down. Does that make sense?
Is there any spy shit involved? Jesse, cue up like Mission Impossible theme music where Chuck just goes in to the files, finds a way to, I don't know.
What was this complete 180?
There we go. All right. Chuck, now with the key, is going into the office. He's logging in.
He turns
turning on the computer. Oh, wait. All right. He gets a phone call from Blair. Nope. Got to abort that. All right.
He hears the elevator doors opening. Quick, quick.
Gotta log on. I don't know what is he doing?
What is he doing?
Changing the contracts, getting money.
Ooh, good job, Chuck. Whatever you just did. Round of applause for Chuck.
All right, and he goes out the window, down, and gets in time for the party to see Russell and shake his hand.
And everything, $2,500 ahead. What a party.
I know.
Chuck, my main man. That's good. Good one, Jesse.
We got to get better at writing these. I feel like, I don't know.
I know. Our Mission Impossible wasn't quite as good. We're getting there, though, I think.
That was a very boring espionage mission.
I know. Okay.
We needed some kung fu or something.
All right. So the person that we haven't talked about in all of this, Lily. All right. This character is the most confusing human being of all time. Do we love her? Do we hate her? Do we trust her? How did she know what was going on with Russell? Has she just been in the business so much? Is it not true that she's a complete socialite and that she really is a businesswoman? What's the deal with her?
This episode, what I really thought about when watching Lily was, wow, you're kind of just like Serena. You both annoy me. I totally understood that maybe she wasn't a good businesswoman. Like, wasn't it under her that Bass Industries fell apart?
Why was it that she originally adopted Chuck?
So I guess I don't know. I think it was because she was part of the board and then his dad died and then she felt...
Adopt somebody who's over the age of 18?
Yeah. Why not?
I don't know, because they're all, their own adult then? I don't know.
I just found Lily kind of annoying.
Well, he could be their co-signer on a...
lease?
Yeah, why not?
So Chuck Bass can sign his lease. Thank you, Lily. No, I don't know, this whole thing. And Rufus is such a dud, too. He never has anything to say. He doesn't stick up for himself. I don't understand what kind of men she's attracted to. So Chuck Bass's father, Russell Thorpe, and Rufus. Three extremely different kinds of guys.
How do you not see the similarities, Serena, in that?
Yeah.
Complete. Identical.
Completely.
Thing. I mean, think about it. You've got... the billionaire or millionaire, whatever, who would be Nate, powerful, rich family, and that would be like, I don't know, Chuck Bass's dad. Then you've got maybe like the outsider, Dan, and Dan's dad. Like, it seems so similar to me.
What seems similar is Serena's interest in men and her mom's, or just all the kinds of guys.
No, just their, like, interest in, like, what they do. They're just mirror images of each other.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And that's what I was saying before last week. I don't blame these kids because look at how screwed up their parents are. It's like all their parents, really? You don't give two craps about your kids sometimes. You say you do things for the family. You do things for yourself. Serena's mom, Lily, always working for herself. No, I do it for the family. You're full of crap, woman. I don't believe you. Not for one second. But anyway, with this, she comes in. She really embarrasses Chuck. She makes Chuck lose Raina. And then she says that she's gone and whatever Chuck does is Chuck's own fault. It's kind of true, kind of not. She doesn't take responsibility for anything. She always thinks she's right. Any sort of redeeming quality about Lily?
No, but that's part of my argument. Exactly what you just said is that she came in all hurt about, like, how Chuck wasn't treating her like family. And then the next minute is saying, this is all your fault. That doesn't seem very motherly to me. Like, Right. Don't you, like, forgive your kids and coach them? Instead of being like, oh, you messed up. You're bad. Like,
I think she just needs to open up more. I mean, if she was at least like, okay, I could understand. Maybe she can't open up emotionally. But I think she needs to, much like companies, just send out a weekly memo of like, here's the update, here's what I got going, nobody panic. It'll be all right.
She should definitely have an email list. I want to be on that.
I know.
It's the updates that she sends. Yeah, but honestly, I'm over her making so many mistakes. Get yourself in therapy. Figure out your problems.
What would she go to therapy for?
Being a crappy person? Oh, my God, I'm such a crappy person.
She doesn't see herself that way, though.
I know, but they should make her go or some sort of intervention or something. She needs it. I don't know. I'm over her, though. I want to cut to commercial and then come back so we can give you all of our news and gossip.
Want to find out what the AfterBuzz is about?
Janice is a drama queen.
This is the divide that is going to carry the series.
Give us a call at 347-855-8269.
This television, and they want it to be as dramatic as possible.
I mean, it's Shakespearean.
You never know what goes on behind closed doors.
Get in on the AfterBuzz.
347-855-8269. Now, in the eyes of Jimmy, Nucky is a villain.
Listen on iTunes.
I mean, who would you guys rather hear that from?
Find us on Facebook.
Your husband or your best friend?
Follow us on Twitter.
And then she's trying to kill him, so it justifies it. I'm like, oh, now it makes sense.
And visit us at AfterBuzzTV.com.
The wig!
The wig will come off.
That wig come off, baby.
No! What?
Boardwalk Empire.
Desperate Housewives.
Glee.
Gossip Girl.
Breaking Bad.
Mad Men.
True Blood.
The Walking Dead.
Big Love.
Jersey Shore.
The Oscars.
Celebrity Rehab.
The Emmys.
If it's hot, you can bet we'll be buzzing about it.
I love our...
AfterBuzz TV News.
I was going to say, I love our talks during commercial breaks.
I know, we all take our headphones off and... And then it's back to business. All right, Jeff, it's all you.
All right, this is Gossip Girl Season 4, Episode 15. It Girl Happened One Night, News and Gossip. Rumors circulated earlier this week that Blake Lively has been cast to play Carrie Bradshaw in the Sex and the City prequel. This, however, is not the case. As we found out, her rep shut down the rumor and simply said it's not true.
This devastated me because earlier in the week, I was on the computer reading articles that Blake Lively was for sure playing Carrie Bradshaw, and I was thinking, oh no, she's not going to be good. And then I went full circle, thought she was going to be great, only to have my hopes and dreams crushed, telling me that she wasn't playing it anymore. What the hell?
I know, and she also didn't get the role in Batman, The Dark Knight Rises, which is Batman 3.
I've got to say, I'm glad. I mean, I've been hearing this story back and forth, like not sure if it's true. And
first off,
Carrie's iconic.
I know.
That woman is...
Yeah, but who's going to play her?
I don't know, but people say like, oh, am I a Carrie? Not Blake Lively.
Wait, first off, is this movie... How serious is this movie?
It's definitely happening.
Uh-huh.
And it's the four girls prior to arriving in New York City, uh-huh, and they're recasting all four girls as younger, hotter girls or something.
Any roles for you two?
Duh. For you?
Sure. Are you? If I was probably going to be cast in one, I like to, you know, be like, I'm a little bit of her, a little bit of her. If I was going to cast in one look-wise, I would definitely be, it's brunette.
I don't know.
She's the cute one.
I know,
one,
I am. Whatever, okay, we got to move on.
Yeah.
We'll talk later.
All right, some say that Chuck Bass is one of the most fashionable and crazy outfits on the show. When asked to comment on this, Lively said, "This is when I knew it had hit an all-time high level of craziness. Something happened with my outfit for the White Party episode. We were on location and it was 5 in the morning, so we couldn't go to any local stores. We were trying to find something different pants because something was happening with the seams on mine. And they pulled out a pair of Chuck shorts to try and get me to wear those. It was summertime, and these were tiny, tiny little shorts. And they actually kind of fit me, which was the sad part."
Especially with how skinny she is. Oh, my God. They put him in some of the most absurd outfits ever, but he rocks them.
Yes, he does.
Different colors, definitely. Crazy stuff.
He looked especially good tonight with his white bow tie.
I have the hots for him like nobody else on TV. Does it for me.
All right, and for the Chuck Bass lovers, you're in luck because Ed Westwick denied reports that he is planning on leaving the show. He said, "That was kind of taken out of context. What I actually said was that I wanted to maximize my time, but I had agreed to do other projects as well. I'm having a fantastic time with Gossip Girl, great character, great cast, and I live in New York City."
Yeah, but New York City's not so great right now when they're under 2 feet of snow. Sucks for you, Ed Westwick. Come out to L.A.
But this comment does make me happy. The more Chuck, the better.
All right. Westwick, who is rumored to have dated both co-stars Jessica Soar and Leighton Meester, is currently single. Despite his past relationships, Westwick admits that he is not quite comfortable around the opposite sex. He said, "Girls still make me nervous. Some some of the ones I meet are lionesses. They're crazy.
Crazy lionesses? Any of them at this table?
Shielding my face.
No, never.
All right. Westwick's new movie, Chalet Girl, premiered in London at the View Westfield this past Tuesday. He hit the red carpet with co-star Felicity Jones. Chalet Girl tells the story of an ex-skateboarder who falls into a Chalet Girl job at a ski resort. She learns that she's got a talent for snowboarding and attracts the attention of one of her bosses, played by Westwick. Sophia Bush and Bill Nighy are also starring in the film.
Westwick playing a boss. He seems to play a lot of bosses on a lot of things, huh?
Because he is a boss.
He's demanding. He's
got power.
He could
be my boss. I'll be his secretary.
Dirty. He's not making a porn.
Oh, I was confused then.
Onwards, DJ.
All right, Leighton Meester's song entitled Birthday Leak. She tweeted saying that she, no offense, nice song, but I did it 2 years ago. Can't wait for you to hear actual songs from me.
I like it. I was listening before. This is good.
I like the remix with our news music.
Yeah, it's all like, da-na-na-na-na. Okay, I'm done, I swear.
We're dancing in here.
All right, best friends Chase Crawford and Glee's Matthew Morrison are looking to appear on each other's shows. I think Chase could definitely do Glee, Matthew said. He's one of my good buddies, so I'd love for him to be on the show. He'd be awesome. And I'd love to be on Gossip Girl. As far as the musical aspect of the show goes, Crawford says, of course I can sing. Like Eddie Vedder in the Guns N' Roses, I'm pretty good.
Whoa, yeah. To your own horn.
A little ambitious. Guns N' Roses isn't just one of the best bands of all time or anything.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, if he gets on it, I guess we'll be harsh judges.
Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
Warning, the spoiler has been found on AfterBuzz TV property. Please remain calm.
Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
All right,
spoiler
Tika
alert.
Sumter, who plays Raina Thorpe, is going to be sticking around all season long.
Oh my god!
Wow, wow. Sumter teased we're going to be find out something about her that will change our current opinion. She said, of course, when we first see a person, you meet their representative. With Raina, first is always family. For her, blood is thicker than water. She has a tendency to trust her family first and ask questions later.
Well, we got that tonight.
Yeah.
She needs to leave.
Goodbye, Tika Sumter. You're a horrible actress. Let's replace you with some hottie like Sarah.
Yay!
Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
We've been questioning the Dan and Blair friendship throughout this whole season and tonight's episode. And the plotline will continue all through February. On February 28th, we will be left with a huge cliffhanger involving the two. And then we will have to wait 6 entire weeks until we figure out what is going to be going on, because the next episode will not air until April 11th.
That is the biggest crap I've ever heard. 6 weeks? Why? That's how I feel. No joke.
Especially after the from the winter break that we had.
I don't get it. Why do they do that to me? On purpose. They know it. They're doing it to me personally.
Spring break.
Because you're saying all this against Tika.
Oh, is that
Tika.
It?
They want to go on spring break just like you. And
yeah, but I don't go on a 6 week long spring break. You know?
Yeah, well, they have the money.
I guess. So I'm jealous, I guess. But I don't know what's going to happen there, Dan and Blair friendship.
Definite
cliffhanger.
Well, cliffhanger. We'll have to predict.
All right, and that's your AfterBuzz TV Gossip Girl news and gossip for the week of February 14th, 2011. Happy Valentine's Day, XOXO.
Aww.
Aww. Wow, I love the kissy sound.
Yo, you making out in the booth? Who you got in there?
Seriously, you know, I think we need to jump to our predictions. I want to talk to you guys a little bit about the Blair and Dan situation and what's going to happen.
So we know there's...
And now, your AfterBuzz TV prediction.
Okay, so we see that there's going to be a cliffhanger on the 28th. As I've been saying all season long, these episodes are going 10 minutes too long every single time. They need to end at 50 minutes, and then those 10 minutes need to carry on to the next episode because they're giving us too much and they're satisfying us a little too much, It's making people not want to come back and watch the rest of next week's show because they just want it to end the way it ended last week. So I'm glad that we're getting some sort of cliffhanger, but what's it going to be? Are they going to lean in for a kiss? Are they going to about to have sexy time or something? What do you think?
I don't know. I feel like on a weekly basis, they do this extra little 10 minutes that could be at the front of the next episode. And then before these long, ginormous breaks, they leave us with like nothing. And you're like, really? Come on. Give us a little bit of something.
Horrible.
It's like one end or the other.
I know. I mean, in some aspects, I hate sitting there saying, oh, they didn't show me what they were going to show me. I thought they were going to show me on this week's episode. Now I don't know what's going on. I have to wait till next week. But at the same time, leave me with something. Oh, my God.
It looks like R is not too thrilled this Valentine's Day. Oops, I guess we broke her heart.
That was good.
Was
it just as cheesy?
I'm impressed. You know what? I don't mind going home, a bubble bath, and painting my nails, and drinking a glass of wine, and being happy with myself on Valentine's Day, okay?
It's a massacre.
It's a massacre. I know it is. And eating the chocolate you bought me. Thank you.
So sweet. They gave us gift bags.
We have the best people that we work with of all time. Is that the massacre?
Yes.
Oh, my
XOXO.
Gosh.
XOXO.
Well, we will see you guys next week and the week after. But then the 6-week break.
For producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions, comments, or would like to host an AfterBuzz show of your own, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only. They do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.